This year, we are thinking about character transformation. How does our characters transform, change? One Christian who's given this a lot of thought is a man named Dallas Willard. And he actually provides what I think is a really helpful pattern. Now, everything he says presumes that God is at work. We need God's spirit to be at work in our lives. God is essential when we talk about transformation. So keep that in mind, as he then goes on to say, there are three things that he sees as a general pattern that you need for transformation. You need a vision, you need to have intention, and you need to have the right means. Now, I want to walk you through this pattern by briefly looking at Judges 9, which shows us what happens when you have the wrong vision, intention, and means can do to you, how it actually ends up deforming your character. In Judges 9, there is a change. The pattern that we have come to expect from this book doesn't happen. You know the pattern, right? There's peace in the land, and then Israel sins. They do evil in God's sight. Some nation comes in, takes over the land. There's an oppressive regime for a while. Finally, the people cry out to God, they repent, and God raises up a deliverer who saves them. This pattern does not happen here. Instead, we are introduced to one of Gideon's sons, Abimelech. And Abimelech has a vision for the people of Israel. It's him. He thinks what is needed is a ruler, and he wants to rule over the people of Israel.
Judges 9, verse 1. Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal, went to his mother's brothers in Shechem and said to them and to all his mother's clan, "Ask all the citizens of Shechem, which is better for you, to have all 70 of Jerubbaal's sons rule over you, or just one man? Remember, I am your flesh and blood."
One of the big discussions that's taking place in the book of Judges is around leadership. And there's kind of competing visions being given of what is the best form of leadership. Now, the form we've seen the most of is this model of leaders being temporarily raised up. And leaders come, they have a particular skill set, they have a particular gifting, and they're able to meet the needs of the people for that time, and then they finish their job. They're temporary, they come and they go. This is one form of leadership that is being presented, but there is a second form of leadership that is being presented as well, and this one is really appealing to people at this time. And it's a vision for a monarchy. Monarchies seem more stable, and so people begin to desire someone who's able to come, someone who's like a strong, maybe charismatic person, military warrior, who is able to bring all the different tribes together and unite them into the people of Israel. And then that person would be able to pass on their leadership through their family, you know, particularly through the firstborn son. And so maybe then things would be more settled and stable. And so that's one of the visions that's kind of competing. Which model is better? This temporary leadership, so people only serve for a brief time, or this more stable, settled form of leadership being passed down through a family. Underneath all of that, there's also a deeper vision being presented, which I think the people of Israel often fail to see. And it is God's vision. God's vision is for God to reign. That Yahweh is actually the one who's able to bring all the different tribes together. That it's Yahweh who is able to raise up the leaders as needed. But these leaders, yes, they're only temporary. The real, ultimate, everlasting sovereign is God. And people, whether they're leaders or whether they're ordinary people, are called to align themselves and commit themselves to Him. Now, this is what Jesus picks up on when Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God. It's the assertion that God reigns over this whole world. and that God has a vision for our lives, for our churches, for our communities that we need to listen to, in fact, that we are called to submit to. We are called to acknowledge that God is the rightful ruler above all other rulers and powers. So, when we think about character, one of the things we need to think about is, who does God want us to be? What does it mean to live under God's reign? What type of person is God calling us to be? To think about character means that we need to first know God's vision for our lives. Intention. We need to have the intention to submit to God. We need to have the desire to commit ourselves to God's vision. I think that's where a lot of us stumble. Abimelech has no desire whatsoever to commit himself to God's vision. He doesn't acknowledge Yahweh. He is too busy pursuing his own small vision, and his vision is to make himself ruler over Israel no matter the cost. So in verse 3, we read how his half-brothers from his mother's side aid him. They go to a temple, the temple of Baal Berit, and they take some of the money from that temple. Now, this is a form of idolatry, but Abimelech is happy to accept this money, and he uses the money to basically hire thugs who go and kill all the other sons of Gideon. Abimelech wants to make sure that there is no possibility that anyone else might lay claim to the throne. Only one brother, Jotham, manages to escape, and he speaks out against Abimelech. Abimelech has a vision. He commits himself to that vision. And it is a vision that is evil in God's sight. The vision we have will inform the choices we make, and the choices we make shape the type of person we will be. Once you have a vision and are committed to that vision, you need to work out what steps, what habits, what strategies do I need to have in place in order to see this vision come into reality. Abimelech decides that violence is the answer. He uses violent means to secure his vision. And by doing so, his character becomes really visible. And we see that this is a man who is full of pride, who is aggressive, who is seeking power. And these means become a habit to him. Violence is what he turns to whenever he's in trouble. He's quick to use violence. So even when he's king, there is this man, Gaal, who doesn't like him, who begins to curse him. And Abimelech reacts by going out, squashing him, using violence to cut him off. And his methods kind of catch on. So those who oppose Abimelech also use violence. Violence becomes this habit, forming the people of Israel, or maybe I should say deforming them. It doesn't end well for anyone. Abimelech eventually dies by violent means.
Judges 9 verse 50. Next, Abimelech went to Thebes and besieged it and captured it. Inside the city, however, was a strong tower to which all the men and women, all the people of the city, fled. They locked themselves in and climbed up on the tower roof. Abimelech went to the tower and stormed it. But as he approached the entrance to the tower to set it on fire, a woman dropped an upper millstone on his head and cracked his skull.
Abimelech's vision is wrong. It is not from God. But Abimelech commits to it anyway. And the means he uses to achieve that vision is also wrong. Vision, intention, means. These things shape our character, shape the type of people we're going to be. Abimelech is not someone we should aspire to be. Jesus calls us to align ourselves with God's vision, God's kingdom vision. He calls us to commit, to give our lives to this vision. And then we need to work out what are the right means that we need to have in our lives. That is how transformation can happen. At an individual level, in churches and beyond. So, how committed are you to God's vision? Do you know it? Are you making decisions that align with it? And what means, what strategies, what habits do you have in place that help you live out God's vision for your life?